back at the Magic Hour with Michael McCallum. I'm your host, Michael McCallum. This is an internet broadcasting podcast brought to you by my company, Rebel Pictures, and the Michigan Business Network. So a quick shout out to Chris Holman and Jeffrey the Cleaner Mosier. Sorry, Jeffrey, for all the noise in the background from a cooler. We are coming to you remotely from Blue Owl Coffee in Old Town in Lansing. So I go to this coffee shop almost daily. I hit up the Rio Town one a lot. So anybody in the Lansing, Michigan area, definitely go check them out. They're a great local business, great product, and some cool t-shirts and swag and hats as well. So get your caffeine on at Blue Owl Coffee. Want to give them a quick shout out and some love. So we're continuing the conversation with a dear friend of mine, Mary Cusack, writer, researcher, academic dean. We were talking about the Pickup Lansing event. So I think this would be a cool time now. Where can listeners go to kind of follow you, see what you're doing, what you're up to, what you're working on?
Facebook. City Pulse on Facebook. That would be about it. I probably should have a website. I haven't done that yet, but we'll get there.
This might be a public hint, nudge moment.
Yeah. I gotta say, by the way, since we're in the coffee shop, it smells awesome. There's no place better to hang out than a coffee shop.
Oh, I know.
Mean, even just smelling the coffee here after hours, it's making me awake.
So
I'm awake and I love it.
Speaking of that, what are some things that you miss that you felt you took for granted, and maybe in the future or now you don't take for granted anymore?
Oh my God, you know,
since the pandemic's happened.
I think some of the most painful things is the loss of being able to do what you consider normal work in a public space. And I know you do this too, right? So
yes.
For the longest time before bars and restaurants can reopen, so I'm ABD on a PhD in higher education. And I did probably about 90% of my PhD work at the Peanut Barrel, you know.
Nice shout out to them. Love the Peanut Barrel.
I could sit there every night and work on my papers, work on my coursework. Someone's just bringing me a drink. It was so handy. It was awesome. And so, of course, they were closed for the longest time. Or, you know, going to MSU Library to do research, you know. So, or Espresso Royale, which, oh my God, what a tragedy.
How many
the entire Espresso Royale chain closed. They're done.
And it is the whole chain?
Oh, that's my understanding. They are closed, I think.
I thought it was just
one.
South U and Harvard.
I think that was all of them.
That's Eric Chalico off in the distance with a mask. It sounds like I've tied him up in a corner. And he's trying to talk.
Yeah, for sure. Lake Lansing, East Lansing, and then the Ann Arbor one's closed. I think that might have been most or all of them. I thought that I went to their website, and they said they weren't even doing mail order because, man, because if you could get those zucchini muffins they used to make by mail order, I would have done it.
And they're so not many going places.
Back. So those places where you could go and hang out.
I always refer to, like, their homes away from home.
Yeah. And that's not uncommon. So I'm going to laugh. Another piece of research I've done. So I've done a lot of work on research on introversion, right? And so introverts, people kind of have a misunderstanding of what introverts are about, right? That they have to stay home. They're very, they're very isolated. Introverts are not isolated people. They don't isolate themselves from other people. But the way that their brain works is that they need a lot of downtime to recharge their batteries, but they do get energy from public gatherings. It's just they can only take so much. So technically I'm an introvert, which nobody believes, but I am.
I'm the same way. I have people that, one guy in particular that I literally got into an argument with him about this online that, no, you're an introvert, you're an extrovert, you're not an intro. I go, dude, I know me.
Right.
Don't tell me who I am.
Introverts
because you
are
read
not
some
shy.
Book.
Shyness is different than introversion. Introversion, a lot of teachers, in fact, are introverts. So you can be a very public persona and be an introvert. It's just that you need downtime to recharge your batteries. That's the thing, is introvert versus extrovert. Extrovert gets energy from a lot of interaction with people. Introverts get exhausted by that interaction. They can do it, and they may even enjoy it, but then they need downtime. And so that's exactly my MO was, I needed to be in a very energetic environment but in a place where I could focus. So that's why the peanut barrel worked for me, is that it's very energetic, but I could sit at a table with my computer open and hyper-focus on what I was working on with that energy around me, right? So, and then at some point go home and just recharge. And so all of a sudden, not having those opportunities to get out and absorb the energy of other people at all, I think that's another thing that's exhausted all of us. You know, yes, you can go outside, you can get exercise, you can walk, but we're all isolated to our homes, and what that home environment is about, you know, it has had been for months, the extent of our interactions with other people. It was family, it was, you know, friends, people that you could be around within 6 feet. It's a little bit better now, but still not quite the same, because you still have, you know, there's just not the same energy. And again, going back to all the businesses that have closed, the opportunities are smaller. Libraries aren't open yet. We still can't go to libraries and be around other people. So yeah, you can be in some bars or coffee shops, but there's not as many people. The energy is totally different. So that part's hard on us.
I think from a writing standpoint too, how many times did I take a notebook, take my, you know, in the last few years, take my adapted to technology and taking my tablet and done some writing, checked emails, looked up information on film festivals, and I get so much from hearing conversations, mm-hmm. background noise, music on a jukebox, music over a radio, even a band playing, and to cut that out completely mm-hmm. has been really difficult. And then apprehensive about jumping back into that, you know.
Yeah.
Most places, except we're at Stober's, you know, we're out on a makeshift patio, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. It is very different. Your home environment's not the same. I mean, it's harder to concentrate, I think, for a lot of people in a home environment, because there's so many distractions that are personal. So I sit at home and I think, I need to go change the cat litter. I need to I need to run the dishwasher. I need to do some laundry.
You just made my blood pressure go up. Because I'm like, I do. I'm like, so many things over this quarantine and pandemic that I had just put off. You know, there's no excuse for it, but I've been busy. I've been focused on other things. And I think it was just a lackadaisical, like, I'll get to that some other time. Now it's been like, okay, take care of this shit. There's no mm-hmm. other excuse for it. And I felt myself, I don't know about you, but I felt myself mentally tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt really good physically. I've been getting a fair amount of exercise. I've been working out a fair amount, doing free weights, walking. And then I felt mentally like I'm tapped out today. I can't do, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that's been a big change.
So here's another part of the research I've done. There's this mental phenomenon called surge capacity. And surge capacity is it's your mental and physical reactions to high stress. And typically things like a death in the family or a natural disaster. So our bodies and our minds are prepared to deal with catastrophic changes, but in the short term, right? So you know that there is an end to, if someone's terminally ill and there's gonna be a resolution. If there's wildfires, you know you need to escape, and then things, you know maybe your house is gonna burn down, but there's a process. There's processes for all of these things that we go through, these losses we have. And so this is different because there's no template for this. We don't know how long it's going to last. And so this idea of surge capacity, we burned out on that April or May, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We all made these changes for a while, and then it's like, okay, that's it. Everything, your body and your mind are shutting down because your surge capacity is spent up. And this goes along with that whole bandwidth theory also. They're you know, kind of linked, where we can only react for so long, and then the unknown kicks in. And then we experience this, and we talked about this a little bit offline, ambiguous loss. So this idea that you can't put a name to it, right? You have this ambiguous loss. And this happens to people, for instance, who have to deal with a family member with dementia. Okay, you're losing that person, but you don't have a timeline. It's different than when somebody has a cancer diagnosis or another terminal illness. That's a little more clear cut. But when you lose somebody to like a dementia, it's a process that unwinds on its timeline, and you're losing the person that you knew. You have this new reality. That's where we are. we're losing the lives we know, and we have a new reality, but there's no map. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know what to expect. And so our surge capacity is done. We're done with
that. It feels like we're driving at a high speed at night with no headlights. Mm-hmm. It just, you're on edge. You don't know what's going to mm-hmm. be in front of you. And I think the biggest hurdle, other than the president and the current administration and their attitude toward this, is other people. That trickle down effect has been not economical. It's been a attitude that other people out and about not taking this seriously. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna wear that. I'm not gonna do that. I don't believe in that bullshit. You know, somebody that I know on Facebook shared a post of a steamroller over somebody. It was a meme, and it said, here's another COVID-19, you know, death attributed to it. That's like just that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody that's lost somebody. Talk to somebody that had this and didn't get over it quickly or is still dealing with effects from it, an aftermath. And then actually talk to doctors and nurses that are working in this field, and they might have a different perspective. But it fucks with their golf game. It mm-hmm. fucks with, you know, them wanting to watch MSU play or their sports team. You know, I had somebody that commented, never comments on shit that I post, but I made a comment about Kirk Cousins and his ridiculous comment about, well, if I die, I die. And yeah. He got all pissed off because he's an MSU fan. That's like, dude, you need to go somewhere with that mentality.
It's an interesting divide, and we've all experienced that with friends and family members, but I think it's a survival mechanism, and it's people deal with it differently. And I think we're seeing that there are some that just their brains shut down and they go into that denial. They want their old life back at any cost, or they just can't accept that this is real because it's too big. It's too big, and I can't deal with trying to change my life. And so therefore, it's a survival mechanism to just say it's not real. Or I'm gonna, you know, I think people hit their own different kind of shutdown, right?
Sure.
And so I think a lot of people, you know, who are, I'm trying not to like cause more division,
yeah.
but you know, people who are empathetic and really do believe in the science, and the same thing goes with, you know, climate change. You know, you got your deniers there because you're dealing with something that's so big that it's easier for me to just deny that it's true and well, you know, stick my hand in the sand. That's
sure.
what it is yeah. Some people can only deal with it by saying it's not true because the enormity they can't handle it, right? It would blow their minds literally.
Right.
They cannot handle how enormous some of these issues are. And so denial is where they're stuck. And again, this goes along with like the stages of grief. They're stuck in denial, and denial is all they have. And I don't know if there are some people who will not get past that.
No.
They really won't, because they cannot adjust to this different life, and it's too big, and they shut down.
Don't you look forward to the time we look back on this in a rear view mirror of like, remember that? I wish we would have known this then. I really do. That's a positive that I think, you know, this too shall pass. It just feels shitty when you're in it right now.
And think about, so people talk about the pandemic of 1918, right? That's the biggest thing that people will draw a connection to.
Right.
The Spanish flu pandemic. But the world was so different. The difference is we have immediate access to information 24/7. We know what's going on in real time. And so when people get frustrated over, well, first you told us not to wear masks, then you tell us to wear masks, so they want to stick to the first thing they heard.
They're still figuring it out.
We're seeing science unwind
yeah.
in real time, and we all have access to it. That didn't happen in 1918. You had newspapers, and the newspapers didn't have immediate information about every change. And so people have to adjust to the fact that we are living in real time, and we're dealing with a pandemic in real time, and we're getting the scientific information in real time. And so if it changes, you have to accept, hopefully try to accept, that the newest information is more valid than what you heard in March. So if you heard that masks were bad in March, but now they're saying that they're a good thing to have, they're probably a good thing to have because we have six more months of information now to base that on.
It's a weird, stubborn attitude of not wanting to, you know, I think it's the president has evoked a lot, an emotion in a lot of people, is that I can't admit that I'm wrong. That's mm-hmm. a weakness. And I do think, you know, it is about listening to the science. And also, too, the masks. I don't like wearing it. It's an inconvenience.
Change it's sucks. Not. Nobody likes change. It's inherent in human beings that we don't like change, period, right? I mean, that's just a biological imperative. We like predictability. Predictability is survivability. So to not have things being predictable anymore, we don't like it. And so people are going to reject that.
The only thing I know that's predictable is that we're going to take one last break. And then I thought that's a smooth segue.
That's very smooth.
And then we're going to finish up with this great conversation with Mary Cusack. This is The Magic Hour with Michael McCallum, Rebel Pictures, Michigan Business Network.